All right.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It seems like only yesterday that Mitch Trubisky was winning the Nickelodeon MVP. But apparently, that was an entire offseason ago, because it's time to bring back the Bears Podcast. And with me, as always, is Mike Pusateri. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Let's bear down.
As always, if you enjoy the podcast, you can also follow each of us on various formats. You can subscribe to this podcast. Go to wherever you buy your free podcasts or Discipio.com, and there's an easy way to sign up there. You can subscribe to the Pointless Exercise newsletter, pointlessexercise.com. And Mike, where can the good folks enjoy all of your work?
They can find me at MikePusateri.com and also on the IMDb, the Insta, and Twitter. And I will be performing live stand-up Friday, October 1st, so just a few weeks from now. First time since the pandemic began that I'll be live in a comedy club. So I'll post the link to tickets in one of those platforms or something at some point. If anybody is interested, that'll be in Burbank. Beautiful downtown Burbank, California.
Good. Sounds good.
Yes. That's Flappers. I should probably say that.
Flappers.
Flappers. Yes.
Are you going to be teleporting back to the 1920s?
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Weren't that were Flappers? Weren't they?
That's when they were big.
Were
in
they
the
dames?
Yes.
In the 20s?
I think they were. I think they were.
Flapping around. So yeah, the Bears are back, and they open on Sunday night in front of God and Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth and Stan Kroenke's toupee and you.
And me. I will be there as so you.
Before one of our Remember This Craps, Donnie and I were talking about this and said, you know, Mike's telling me he's going to the game, making a big deal of it. And he's like, what do you care? You don't ever want to go to another football game or another NFL game in person. I would make an exception to see the stadium.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I have no desire to go to Soldier Field ever again. No. I'm good. I've seen that enough. But SoFi, this is essentially their debut, because it's the first time with fans in a real game. So
SoFi, it was how many billion dollars did the stadium cost?
I think it was 78.
$78 billion. $78 billion.
Right. It's probably worth it.
It looks really cool.
Oh, yes.
So I will be interested, maybe more so than your breakdown of, well, I hopefully you have a good angle when the ambulance comes out on the field to cart Andy Dalton off. But other than that, we'll probably be more interested in the amenities. You know who's going to be really interested? Frequent listener of the podcast, Ted Phillips.
Oh, good. Well,
yes,
Ted.
As he plans the Arlington Heights version.
Right.
Which I believe they've already locked up the sponsor. That's SoFi, of course, major financial institution. So is the one the Bears have, payday loans. Ted's very excited about it.
Yeah.
It's a $40 billion sponsorship. It's a dollar a week for 40 billion weeks. He worked out a great deal.
Right. Sounds like the Chicago parking meter deal. Well, I'll be happy to give Ted all kinds of suggestions, and I'm sure they'll be met with. We can't afford that. We can't.
So when you had something to plug, what I was really hoping. I mean, it's great. I'm glad you're going to be in the club. Just the timing. I was like, oh, is he in Chicago Party Ant?
I know.
Season 2, I'll bet.
Season 2, Chris, if you're listening, put me in that.
We're going to start a petition drive.
I'm very excited
to get you into season 2 of Chicago Party Ant.
Let's do that. Chicago
now,
Party
is there
Ant.
Is there any way that show is either going to be really funny or terrible? Right? Can there be an in between there?
Well, Andy, as you pointed out, I'm hoping to work on that show at some point. So I'm going to go with this. It's going to be really,
yes,
really funny.
There's a lot. That's right. Sorry. There's a lot of nuance in between there. That could be. Actually, I think the scale goes from excellent on the one end to really very good on the other.
Yes.
I basically just want—I don't want to talk about the Bears. I just want to talk about Only Murders in the Building for the next 45 minutes.
There you go. Steve Martin, Martin Short.
Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez.
Yes. Amy Ryan is in that. Sting.
Yeah.
Sting's in it. Yeah.
Sting's in it.
All right. We probably should talk about the Bears because
I guess we should. Yeah.
It is the Bear podcast.
It's ostensibly why we're here. Yeah.
So this is the 103rd championship season for the Chicago Bears.
Mm hmm.
Going for their 11th championship. Is that right?
That sounds good.
I think that's right. I think they have. Yeah. Is it 10 plus the Super Bowl or 10?
I feel like 11 is right.
Where's Donahue when I need him? Because I don't remember any of this shit.
Yeah. We're the anti-Donahue. We can't remember anything.
No. Forget all of this. That's this podcast. Drink to Forget. That's the new podcast. Bears winning preseason. And I think that's really, really what counts.
Which means so much.
He'll tell you they're coming in they won two out of the last three. Red hot.
I don't want to listen to anything Matt Nagy's going to tell me. Can I just say that right now?
I had a question occur to me tonight, actually. While I was down here, I was not actively listening to the Cub game, but it was on, and I could tell Taylor was droning on about something. Just it was white noise, basically, at this point. And I thought, I don't know why this thought occurred to me, but how much mixed feelings would you have if somebody said right on, on Sunday, hey, the Bears fired Jeff Joniak, and Taylor McGregor is going to be the new play-by-play person.
Oh, wow. Man.
I think I'd roll the dice on Taylor.
Yeah.
Just on the off chance that she actually mentions the down and distance and the score once in a while. It would be an improvement over.
I'd be fine with it.
Over the Jeff Joniak.
I'd be fine with it. What if a Zach Zaidman was going to replace a Jeff Joniak? Then what would you do?
It's easy enough to avoid the Bears on the radio.
Yeah.
He was their former sideline monkey for years before him and Grody switched jobs for some reason. I don't know why. So the Bears are facing the Rams. We watched the preseason, and so we got to see Justin Fields play quite a bit, actually. And enough, I think, that I just think we'd like to see more of that, please.
I think we would. I think everybody outside of Hallis Hall would like to see more of that.
It kind of begs the question. Is that the proper use of that? As we know, he's not starting Sunday. Although... Here's an ironic, is it irony or coincidence? I guess it would be coincidence if it happened. Not irony. I guess it was week two last season, Chargers Chiefs in SoFi. Mere minutes before the game started, Anthony Lynn had to wander over to his rookie quarterback and say, "You're in." Because a trainer had accidentally collapsed Tyrod Taylor's lung. Trying to give him, I don't know what he was trying to give him, a shot in the lung. You should give people shots in the lung before games?
Probably not, no.
Tyrod's a Texan now. Never got back on the field because once Justin Herbert. So could we have a different Justin? Could we get, who's the trainer? Tony Medlin, the guy with the coat drive? Could we get Tony Medlin to just accidentally stick a syringe into LeGrand Orange on the sidelines right before kickoff, and now Fields has to go in?
Well, with the Bears' offensive line, I mean, Andy Dalton getting injured is not exactly a stretch.
Tony, put the syringe down. Jason Peters is going to make sure that Andy's lung gets collapsed.
Yeah. 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 Well, I was looking at the schedule. And I know we're going to talk about the schedule, but to your question about when does Justin Fields start?
Yeah, when does he start?
So if you look at the schedule, the first four games are actually pretty relatively predictable. Like week one against the Rams, they're going to get their ass kicked, right? I mean, let's be honest. The Bengals, they'll win that. At Cleveland, they'll lose that.
Yep.
And then they host Detroit. They'll win that.
Two after four games.
So those first four games, doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. And then you get to the Las Vegas Raiders in week five. You get to that game. I like the Bears' chances if Justin Fields is the starting quarterback. I don't like them if it's Andy Dalton.
Is that game in the Roomba Dome, or is that in... It is. It's in Vegas.
That is. Yes, it is. It's in Vegas.
Yeah, I have a feeling that the Raiders are going to have a... Well, for a lot of reasons. I think they're going to have a real home field advantage in that thing. You've seen that stadium. It really does look like a Roomba parked out in the desert.
I've seen it from the outside. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be loud in there. I think it's going to be a cool place to go see a game. Plus, you've got the whole guys going to Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm sure these very mature NFL players, where there's a business trip. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, if the Raiders don't have a home field advantage, they're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Which the Raiders tend to do a lot of things wrong, so we'll see. That's the game where it matters most that Justin Fields starts. Again, saying this as a guy who wants him to start Sunday night.
2 years ago in London, the Raiders didn't have any healthy wide receivers against the Bears. Remember this game?
Mm-hmm.
And John Gruden basically said, fuck it. He only threw the tight end, and they just ran the ball right down the Bears' ass all day. Yep. Beat the shit out of him. Even though Gruden's a caricature and a weirdo and whatever, he's a pretty good football coach.
Yeah, he is.
He's a lot better football coach than Matt Nagy. And he reminded everybody of that day.
Yeah.
Because the Bears had no answers for that. They just got run over.
Right. And the Bears, frankly, could have hired Chucky instead of Nagy.
That's an interview I'd like. How would you like to – John Gruden sitting down with Vaj Bukaski? Now, there's a – he seems like a nice boy. How old is he? 14? He's 58. Oh. Very intense.
Yeah.
So the idea behind – is it because of the what makes you think that Andy Dalton can't handle the Raiders?
I just think I think in that environment, he's really not that good of a quarterback. It's arguable whether he's even better than Mitch, Andy Dalton. Now, I think he is, but if you look at the numbers from last year, Mitch's are actually somewhat favorable to Andy Dalton. So he is not to me. I mean, we're talking about, I think you said in one of your newsletters, the quarterback is the most important position in the sport. It's probably the most important position an NFL quarterback in any sport.
Yeah, it's probably that or a I was going to say shortstop, but I don't even know if that's true anymore.
I don't think it's true. No, I think it's...
I think more is put on the shoulders of the quarterback than any other team sport. I don't know all the water polo positions.
Well,
other than that's drowning. Is that a position? That's an outcome.
I think so. Yeah. So I look at this Bears team. Look, if Andy Dalton is the starter, I see their ceiling is about 7 wins. If Justin Fields is the starter for all 17 games, I think their ceiling could be 10 wins. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot, but in the NFL, that's
it's 3 games.
Difference.
It's the equivalent of it would be a 30 game swing in baseball.
Yeah. So I don't see we have seen a guy like, we have never had a guy like Justin Fields, obviously.
Peter Tom Willis, right? Maybe Will Fuhrer, were they as good?
Maybe a young
Craig Krenzel,
Bob Avellini.
Fuck Avellini, you're triggering me.
I'm Mike Phipps.
Young Andy hated Bob Avellini with a passion.
Yeah, I would have met. As did young Mike and every young Bear fan who watched those teams.
Dad was like, you think he's bad. You never saw Bobby Douglas. Like,
right. Douglas. And I think, there's this notion that some seem to have that, well, it's much better for Fields to, watch for a year. Why does anybody suppose that he's going to be better watching Andy Dalton for a year as opposed to playing for a year, A, and B, with the way that the Ryan Pace has mismanaged this cap, they have so much dead cap. for next year. How are they going to improve this team?
They're the oldest team in the NFL.
Yeah.
They have only a handful of draft picks next year. And they already have $20 million of dead money on the cap.
Which could get to 30 pretty easily with Foles and Quinn, potentially.
Pretty well, you get done with Nick, right? He's a little, this is his last year. I think he's done after this.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd get him off the cap. Quinn, too, I think. Quinn's contract was structured weird in that it was impossible to trade him this year. It was going to cost them. There was like no cap relief if you traded him, and nobody wanted him.
Right.
So yeah. You'd have to have sent something with him to get somebody to take him, and then it wasn't going to help your cap anyway. It was just a terrible signing at a position where he's actually Pace is good at picking up guys who you've never heard of and getting and then the defensive line gets production out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he all of a sudden think he needed? He was already paying Khalil Mack.
Right.
Why did he need another high-priced outside linebacker defensive end? He needed a guy to help take some of the heat off of Khalil.
Right.
It also helped if the defensive coordinator had any idea how to scheme him. So hopefully Sean Desai is a little more creative than Chuck Pagano. Mm-hmm. It didn't make any that expenditure didn't make any sense. Jimmy Graham didn't make any sense.
No.
You can get tight ends Jesper Horsted, like, you know, they they picked him up at a polo match or some shit in the Ivy League, and probably the best example of that is Jesse James. Just like wandered in off the street one day.
Yeah, right.
And all of a sudden Justin Fields is like, you know, completing 8 passes a preseason game to him.
So here's the Bears depth chart at tight end. Cole Kmet, okay. Jimmy Graham, Jesse James, and then they have other JP Holtz and Jesper Horsted. You have five tight ends of the depth chart.
Yeah, I think Holtz is gone. I think.
Is he?
Or maybe he's practice squatted.
Could be.
I think the four they have on the 53 are. Oh, it could be. Remember one point last year they had 10 they had an 80-man camp roster. They had 10 tight ends.
I don't know if this is
every 8 players.
Is a tight end. I don't know if this site is legit or not, but it's
bleedbearorange.com.
it's chicagobears.com.
Oh no, there's no way. Larry Mayer had 6 scotches at lunch and he doesn't even know.
And their team depth chart has JP Holtz listed as
that
other.
Could be.
Other with Jesper Horsted and
maybe because they didn't keep Craig Knoll, right?
Right.
So they kept JP Holtz instead of Craig Knoll. Much to Bub's chagrin.
Point being, why do we have 78 tight ends on the roster? And why did we take the cap hit with Jimmy Graham?
Well, that's the question, right? If with Jimmy Graham you still need 4 more tight ends, maybe you could have lived without Jimmy Graham.
Probably.
We're going to carry 2 holders this year because the one guy we got isn't very good. Like, well, maybe don't keep him then.
But, yeah, there's a thought. Let's keep the one guy who is good. How about that?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. The fascination with the Dalton thing confuses me. I don't mind having him on the roster. I think he's if I never saw Nick Foles again, I'd be perfectly content.
Yeah.
But this idea that, well, we brought him in to be the starter, so we need to at least let him start. Why? Is he an eighth grader? Are we worried that his self-esteem is going to be crushed forever? You're paying him $10 million. Dollars.
I mean, yeah, right. That's enough self-esteem right there, the $10 million.
And then the whole idea, I think, that it gets back. This is weird. So the idea that it's really beneficial to a quarterback to sit was when the Houston Oilers, before they moved to Tennessee, sat Steve McNair for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned into a borderline Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that. And this is also not Patrick Mahomes sitting for almost the entire season. He got a token appearance in the last game of his rookie season. Mahomes basically admitted that, like, his knowledge of little football things wasn't up to par when his rookie season started. He was at Texas Tech. They didn't huddle. They didn't call. Every play got called by the sidelines. Everybody would turn and look. Right. Cliff Kingsbury would call the play in. there were mechanical things that he didn't have very much experience with. And he said, if they'd have tried to start me week one, I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. By week six, sure. I was ready.
Right.
If Alex Smith had gotten hurt, I was ready to come in. Of course, then the Chiefs were so good, they didn't need to even win the last game of the season because they were going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense. And then a lot of people were shocked when they just cut bait with Alex and went right to Mahomes because they knew what they had. They had seen him. This isn't that. You don't have a playoff team with a serviceable quarterback. You have a team that honestly needs Justin Fields. You also have a guy in Justin Fields who played a lot more football.
And a much bigger program.
And ran an offense the way NFL quarterbacks run it. Now, clearly he's going to see more complicated defense and stuff than college guys do. But he's light years ahead of where Steve McNair was coming out of Alcorn State, where Patrick Mahomes was coming out of Texas Tech, and where Mitch was. Because Mitch had only started for 1 year, and he went to fucking North Carolina, where they ran four plays, and they were written on the back of a red man pouch.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, and let us not forget, going into the season last year, everybody thought Justin Fields was going to be the second overall pick.
And it's weird, because he didn't do anything during the season to justify not being the second pick.
Right, I agree.
Like, he dismantled Clemson. He had a bad game against Northwestern that the Ohio State comfortably won.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't beat Alabama. Oh.
Right.
Well.
Okay. That's, yeah. Yeah.
Much to the Bears' dumb luck, though. You know, there's...
Much to the Bears' dumb luck.
We're talking about this all the time. It'll come up a million times. Nobody likes to complicate shit more than football coaches.
Right.
They make everything harder than it should be. And if something is obvious, they don't trust it, and they have to pick it apart. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that the Jags didn't like, wring their hands over Trevor Lawrence, who has to be, like, the most no-brainer quarterback of the last 20 years. I'm sure there's some dopey scout in there going, oh, I don't know. He got married when he was in college. That seems weird.
Right.
Okay. Have you seen his wife? Maybe you see why he got married in college.
Right.
So, in a way, I guess it didn't surprise me that they overthink it. And you end up with, you know, Zach Wilson going second, which I'm sure is going to be... He looks like he's 8 years old. That little fucker can... Anyway, he's not even that little. He can really throw. I don't know if he'll be any good. But, he makes some just ridiculous throws. The one I didn't understand, but I was happy, was Trey Lance.
Yeah.
To the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I don't care. I didn't want Trey Lance.
Right.
I want Justin Fields. The Bears got Justin Fields.
Right.
It really would have been nice if the... Like, how much respect would you have had for George McCaskey if the day after the draft, he has a press conference, he's like, I'd really like to congratulate Ryan Pace for, you know, trading up and getting Justin Fields and Matt Nagy for his evaluation. We got Justin Fields, so they're both fired. Because we're going to get somebody in here who can build a fucking team around him and somebody here who can coach him.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank them for helping us acquire him, and now they're going to go bye-bye.
Right. He would have been a civic hero. But isn't that interesting, though? Isn't that the reason that we're going to hear all season long about why you can't fire Pace and Nagy, right? Because you can't do that to Justin Fields, because the Bears have a history of doing it, right?
Can you imagine Justin Wilson? What would his helmet look like?
Oh, my God.
A great gazoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Bears have a history of doing that, right? They did that with Grossman, other guys. They replaced the staff after their second year. And you're going to hear this all. Yeah, Mitch. Perfect, Mitch. So we're going to hear
Mitch
this
is
all
actually,
season.
Mitch is a great example of how they completely wasted his rookie year.
Totally.
Just wasted it. They clearly didn't even trust John Fox enough to tell him who they were picking.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't trust him enough to pick him, then go find your coach right now. Don't.
Right. Don't waste it. He's too valuable.
It's clear that the collaboration press conference from, might have been the last Bear podcast we did.
Might have been, yeah.
We didn't do an emergency one after the draft, I don't think.
We didn't, no. That was shame.
That's what this one is. It took us a while to respond to the emergency.
Right.
But that whole thing was, you could just tell George didn't want to fire anybody.
No, you could totally.
And so he's still not going to want to. Much to our chagrin and detriment.
Yeah, and so what are the chances he fires those guys? As you point, he's not going to fire him, or certainly not going to fire Nagy during the season. What are the chances that he does it at the end of this year? I don't think they're very good.
Okay, so that brings up a point that I've heard. I don't know why I wrote this. I don't know why I do this to myself. I listen to Bill Simmons' podcast, because who his guests are. Right. And I've heard him at least on three of those podcasts, which says more about me than should, that I've listened to three of them. And he's like, "Ah, great bet is Matt Nagy first coach fired." That's the worst bet. There is no way. There's no way they'll fire him during the season. Mm-hmm. And the perfect example of that, and I wrote that, was the Bears under Mark Trestman gave up 107 points in back-to-back games, and he didn't get fired. Right. That team quit. Yes. They quit on him during the season, and he didn't get fired. Now, this team's not going to quit on Nagy. Right. I think the players seem to genuinely like him. I think they probably look at him like, I wish we had a better coach, but he seems like a pretty decent guy. So they're not going to quit on him. So no matter how bad it gets win-loss wise, which I don't think it's going to get that bad. I just think they're going to be There's no way he's going to get fired. And you're right. It might not get bad enough for them to feel like they have to move him out at the end of the season. And I think the key for him is going to be if it at least seems like Fields is getting better as the season goes, then he's guaranteed to keep that job. I think the only way he loses it if people are like, this guy's not the right fit for Justin Fields. Right. Because no matter if you're Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy or anybody, this is the Bears are Justin Fields and everybody else right now. It's all about him and him going forward. And so if you can convince the McCaskies that you are an asset in that development, you're fine.
Yep.
No matter if you go, 9-8 or 4-13, they're like, oh no, I think next year's going to be good. Even though next year now it's like, oh, we're in horrible salary cap hell. Now, one of the things about the salary cap this year, the Saints ran into the same problem the Bears did. For a long time, NFL teams have operated with the salary cap is kind of an advisory thing because it always went up enough that you could be up at the top of the cap, but then you got bailed out, new TV contract, new whatever, and there was always room. There's always money in the banana stand. There was always money under the salary cap until last year with COVID, and it barely went up. Right. And teams that were capped to the top, like the Bears and the Saints, who had always just counted on, it's never that bad, we'll always figure a way out, couldn't. Mm-hmm. You were screwed. You had to actually cut guys. I don't think the Bears did a very good job of picking who they would cut.
No.
But, and so it's not going to do that next year. And that's, you could already tell Pace is counting on that. In fact, there's some thought that it will have a correction, that it'll go up and it'll go up extra. And then he'll be like, I could piss away more money on veterans that aren't going to produce. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't, they're really screwed.
No, yeah, they're
deep, because they don't have any other way to bring in. It's street free agents is all they're going to be able to bring in. I mean, they were so capped. They just redid Jimmy Graham's contract again. And the reason they had to redo it, they had to convert it to signing bonus to create $4.8 million under the cap. Because, I mean, when you saw it with the moves they made on waiver day, they couldn't add any money. They didn't have any room to add. And, in fact, the Bears weren't the only team the other day who found a guy. And it's always good for the player. You get a little extra cash.
Yeah, right.
To do that with, because the Bears and other teams didn't even have enough money to pay the injury settlements on guys they were cutting. Because that counts against the cap. So they had to do something. That's how close to the cap they are right now. They were drowning in a pool and they just barely got their nose above the water right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's this hell of a way to run a football team. So The one guy they added, former first round pick, Brashad Perriman, who's been on four teams in the last 3 years, and this is his fifth team now in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He fits the mold of every receiver they brought in this year. He's really fast,
right,
and has no fucking idea where to run.
Right.
So it reminds me of, so the 2008 Cubs, when they got bounced by the Dodgers, Lou Piniella blamed it on not having the only left-handed bat he had that he could start in game three was Kosuke. Got to give me some left-handed hitting, no matter what it is. That's ended up with Milton Bradley.
Right.
This reminds me of that. We got a quarterback now, our backup, who could throw the ball 80 yards in the air. We got to get some fuckers to run under it. So let's just get some fast guys. Well, they can't play football. It doesn't matter.
All right.
We'll teach them. So good luck with that. If you got a fantasy draft tonight or tomorrow, don't take Brashad Perriman. I wonder what Ted Ginn's up to.
Yeah.
See, that was another problem they have, which is not, I don't know how you could foresee this. When they let Cordero Patterson go,
mm-hmm,
which just crushed me.
Yeah, I know.
I really miss Cordero and his ability to catch a ball 9 yards deep in the end zone and bring it out to the 18.
He was the best.
Great. Yeah. Also love the fact that they would give him the ball like he was a fullback, even though he was a kick returner, not really a running back.
Right.
So they let him go, and they didn't go out and get a kick returner. And then they were getting Tariq Cohen back, so they really didn't bother to find a punt returner.
That worked out well.
And it looks like Khalil Herbert is going to be their kick returner, the rookie from Virginia Tech. I think that's where he's from.
Yep.
But they don't have – they had to go out and get Simba – what's his name? From the
Webster.
Niners. Simba Webster.
Yep.
I loved his work with Alex Karras. In that TV show. Because it's like one of those things where they were like, okay, we got a game Sunday. Do we have a punt returner? No.
No.
Do you think we're going to need one? Do you think the Rams are going to punt?
Right.
Is Johnny Hecker still the Rams punter?
Because
it won't matter. Remember the last time they went up against Johnny Hecker and he like kicked the ball out of bounds at the 2 yard line every time?
Yeah.
They honestly, if I was Nagy, I'd be like, we don't need a fucking punt returner because we're not going to be able to stop him. And if we do stop him, Johnny Hecker's going to kick it out at the two. So we're just going to save the cash this week because we need it.
They'd be like, you know what? We can put Jason Peters out there. He can return punts.
So one of the things I wanted to propose was, you know, every podcast is doing the what week is Justin Fields going to start. I think we should do the what week does Jason Peters pass out on the field? But it's got to be week one. Right.
I think it's gonna be 90 degrees here on Sunday. So yeah, it's week one is probably a good bet.
Oh, but it's indoors.
There's no humidity.
There's a fan or two that they can point at the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't got to that yet. The fact that a team with very little draft capital.
Right.
Has to use more of it to get Justin Fields. Perfectly. It was dereliction of duty to
perfectly
not
accepted.
Do that. That's why.
Without question.
That's the perfect. You do that. That's you have a franchise changing player. Yes. You throw in whatever the fuck you need to get it. Honestly, I don't think the Giants asked for too much. That was fine.
Yeah.
But they just go ahead and do it again in the second round to trade up to draft a guy who you then later admit. We knew he had. We knew he had a bad back. And he's a right tackle, but we're going to play him at left tackle. So so we've got this guy who we think is really good, but he could be hurt. And he's also going to – and he's a rookie. We're going to make change positions to the most difficult offensive line position that there is.
Right, right. He's going to be doing everything backwards.
But don't worry. We're going to hedge our bets by releasing our other left tackle. We're going to leave ourselves with no safety net. It's going to be great.
Yeah, perfect. to protect our franchise quarterback
right.
We just drafted.
I do like that. How'd you like to be Andy Dalton And listen, and here's the thing about, well, we're going to play Justin Fields week one. They're not going to be able to block the Rams. He's going to get killed. Dalton's over there going, wait a minute, what?
Right.
Well, fucking play Foles then.
Yeah,
protect
no
us
kidding.
Both. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
You are the crash test dummy. You get hit no matter what.
Right. It does say something that, you know, Jim McMahon had Jimbo Covert. And whoever the, you know, Justin Fields right now. Oof.
Yeah, it's, you know, the offensive, their offensive line is a really interesting thing. It was, they had two huge problems on their team last year, which was quarterback.
Only two?
And offensive line. Two huge. They had lots of problems, but there were two that the holes were more gaping than the others.
Okay.
I mean, that boat had a lot of holes in it. You can't plug
it
them
did.
All.
Right.
I mean, you could send Gopher down, you know, to the poop deck. To
right.
Shove
right.
stuff in the hole, but it's, And so they fixed the quarterback one and went with the offensive line. That's right.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, in theory, and that's always fun,
mm-hmm.
their interior line should actually be pretty good.
Should
like
be,
yeah. I think we can agree their three best offensive linemen are Cody Whitehair, James Daniels, and Sam Mustipher.
For sure.
So they should be able to live with that.
Right.
But then the drop-off to the Stooges, who will be running the turnstiles on the right and left tackle, gets a little... you know, Jermaine Ifedi, who the Seahawks let go because they didn't think he was going to play guard, is going to play another season at right tackle for the Bears. That's not a great sign.
Right.
Jason Peters, who admitted he was fishing when Juan Castillo called and said, hey, how'd you like to come play left tackle?
I got another guy on the line about some white walls.
Well, although you know, he's not even going to be the oldest left tackle in the game.
I know that because I read your work. Yes. That's why I know that.
Andrew Whitworth is actually older, although Andrew Whitworth is still pretty good.
Now, of course, if your three best linemen are your interior linemen, it would help if you had a play caller who would run the football every now and then.
Yeah, it would be nice.
That might take advantage of that.
What happened to the... honestly, I don't remember... So he switched to Bill Lazor last year, late in the season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it worked, right?
It worked, yeah.
And then he just, like, right before the playoffs, took it back for no reason. Yes. And it didn't work. And now there's no discussion that he shouldn't be calling the plays?
Correct. It's that like, seems about to sum it
it's
up.
Like
yeah.
if we look back at the last last calendar year, Matt, when you've been calling the plays, the offense, no worky.
Terrible.
When you don't call the plays, the offense, worky.
Yeah.
Why are you still calling the plays?
Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly think I could live with him as the head coach. If that's what if he stayed in that box. If his job was the
press conferences and
job was the rah-rah bullshit on the sidelines. Yeah. He's terrible with timeouts, so we'd have to get him a timeout coach. He should have one anyway.
Yeah.
He
learned from the best.
And just let somebody else call the plays. I think I'd be fine with that.
Well, and to your point, it worked last year when that happened.
I mean, those were the games when all of a sudden not only the fans, but the Bears remembered that David Montgomery was a thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we have a running back. He's not a great running back, but he's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
And the more we give him the ball, the more yards he seems to gain. It's funny how that works. Like, he gets better with more carries, so maybe we shouldn't give him 6. Maybe we should give him 26.
Mm-hmm.
They wear me out. They haven't even played yet, and they wear me out.
Okay, so what's going to happen if, like, we don't want this to happen. I will be at the game. I don't know if I've mentioned that. If the Bears get their ass handed to them, which is, you know, perhaps the most likely outcome from Sunday night.
Wait, we haven't talked about the Rams. I think the Rams are really good. I think the Rams. The last 3 years have been a quarterback away from being. They went to the Super Bowl 3 years ago, even with Jared Goff.
Yes.
They were a quarterback away from being really good the last 3 years. And now they have one. A guy we actually saw twice a year, Matthew Stafford, who, honestly, It's pretty fucking good.
He's pretty, yeah, he's really good. We talked about that last year when we were talking about Stafford on the Lions. Like,
yeah,
Stafford's pretty damn good. Right, like, it's just the rest of the team.
The Bears had Matthew Stafford, that things would be pretty good.
Yeah.
And there was even stuff like Jared Goff was like the worst play action passer in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford was literally rated, I had the highest quarterback rating on play action passes. And right. Sean McVay wants to run a shitload of play action. Stafford, they had this weird thing. Remember the great Jim Bob Cooter?
Who doesn't?
When he was our offensive coordinator, Stafford went from like top 10 in the NFL in air yards per completion to right. last. The Lions were running this weird little dinky shit, like Ben right. Roethlisberger, except without Chase Claypool running around.
Right.
And then he left, and then I don't know. It's probably fucking Daryl Bevel. Doesn't Daryl Bevel call plays for every team? Whoever the offensive coordinator was last year, he went back to being like third in the league because right. he's really good at it. And right. so now you put that on the Rams, and that's what they want to do. And it seems like he's been around forever. He's only 32 years old. Now, granted, the Lions, they beat the shit out of him. Like, he's had back put back together, and I think they did some weird thing where they, like, reversed his kidneys. I don't know. They did all kinds of experimental surgery.
They gave him an extra one. He's got, like,
He's got three kidneys now.
Yeah.
It's, ironically, David Eckstein wouldn't give his kidney to his nephew who had cancer.
Right.
He did give it to Matthew Stafford.
Yes, exactly. For a gallbladder in return.
To be named later. it could get ugly.
Well, the three best teams in the NFC are, who do you think they are?
Well, they're Tampa.
Yep, it's one.
The Packers.
Right? And the Rams.
And the Rams, yeah.
Those are the three best teams.
And
they're at home.
The Bucs and the Packers have the advantage of being in divisions where they really are although I guess the Saints could be good, but it's Jameis.
Right.
They're the only good team in their division, where the Rams have the Niners and the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Cardinals, but the Cardinals are Cliff Kingsbury's a moron. Cliff Kingsbury might be the reason Matt Nagy still has a job. Gagging away the Cardinals were in pole position for that playoff spot, and it kept losing to backup quarterbacks as the Bears finally found the soft spot of their schedule and backed into the playoffs. Yeah, so I think the line last week was 7.5. You could give me that's the no brainer of all no brainers. I'd take 15.
Yeah.
You give me 15 in the Bears, and I still would bet on the Rams.
Oh yeah, I mean that place is going to be insane. It's going to be nuts.
So you know what'll happen? The Bears will come out and score on their first three possessions.
hey, great. Okay. I'll be there for it, but.
Yeah, and that's why I don't. It's funny, whenever I bet, if I bet Bears games, I always bet on the opponent. I only bet when I think this would be a game that I probably will bet on. With the idea being, if they lose, I'm sitting there like, well, at least I'm going to get some money out of it. And then if they win, I don't give a shit that I'm losing money. Like, I don't care. It's the Bears.
Yeah.
I want them to win.
Either way, you're happy.
Yes. Although even happier if they could somehow... I guess they can't because I'm usually betting when they're underdogs. But if they could somehow win.
Well, that would be the ideal situation.
And not cover. But I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't bet that way.
Okay, so let's say they lose by 20 points.
Yeah.
And Dalton has, you know.
He goes
16 for 34 for 176 yards, a touchdown and two interceptions. Now what are we doing?
Here's how dumb this is. Okay. I don't think there's a scenario short of him not being ambulatory after week one that he doesn't start week two because of who they're playing.
Yeah, fair enough. Get the Bengals.
It's the Bengals revenge game.
Yeah.
Which is just the saddest thing.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Now, you do know, because I think Adam Amin mentioned this in every one of the three preseason games, that Andy Dalton has more 4,000-yard passing seasons than the Bears do.
Yeah.
One. Bears don't have any.
No.
Nobody's ever done. Right. Actually, he might have two. But he's got more than the entire franchise. But yeah, he's starting that Bengals game no matter what.
Unless he's injured.
Which is a possibility.
Quite possible.
It's not nice to think that.
No, it's not racist. No.
Andy seems like a perfectly nice guy.
Well, a very nice guy.
His teammates everywhere have seemed to love him. Even the Cowboys last year, who watched him flush their season down the toilet.
Yeah.
By being bad. They seem to genuinely like him. So he's got that going for him, which is nice.
Which is nice.
All right, so it's time to go through the schedule.
No boy.
And we're gonna figure out what the Bear record's gonna be.
All right.
Sports radio was invented after this shtick, not even before. Okay, so at Rams.
Yeah.
So loss. 0-1.
Yeah, 0-1.
Bengals home.
Win.
1-1.
Yep.
At Browns.
Not good.
So 1-2.
1-2.
Home Lions.
2-2.
Okay, so now in your world, they're going to Vegas, and Justin Fields is playing.
So I think the outcome of this game is completely dependent on the quarterback. If it's Fields, I like the Bears. If it's Dalton, they're 2-3.
All right. Unless he's hurt, I think it's still going to be Dalton.
So let's assume that. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so 2-3.
2-3.
home against the Packers.
Yeah. Great. 2-4.
2-4.
But again, if they start Fields against Vegas and he pulls this off, now this is a team with momentum. This is a team. If they do that, they give themselves a chance for the next 2 weeks, I feel, against the Packers and the Bucs. I certainly wouldn't write off if Justin Fields.
They beat the Bucs last year.
Yeah. And if Justin Fields beats the Raiders in Vegas and then is starting at home against the Packers, that place is going to be insane. It's going to be absolutely insane. The team is going to be riding high, feeling good.
And then the Bears are going to have them backed up at the one, and Brett Favre is going to throw a 99-yard touchdown to Robert Brooks. That's right. We've seen that.
Yeah. But this is why the quarterback is the most important position in sports, because it affects how the whole season really goes. So it's hard to predict the rest of this because we don't know when Fields is assuming the helm. Right?
Right.
Well, we'll do it anyway, because that's what we do.
So then at Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah, that's not good.
No.
We'll lose that.
Home against the Niners.
That's no good.
I don't like that. So are we 2-5?
2-5, yeah.
At the Steelers. I don't think the Steelers are... Well, actually, here's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't think the Steelers... The Steelers have a good defense. I don't think they're a terribly good team. They got off to that 11-0 start last year, and everybody's like, "How are they this?" And then they went 1-5 after that, including the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's I don't. If it was home, I would pick the Bears.
Oh, that's the thing.
It's in Pittsburgh. Not. So now you're 2-6 going into the bye.
Terrific.
And then you get Baltimore.
Right.
Now better hope Lamar flunks a COVID test.
So there's a loss. But then good news. Is right around the corner.
Going to Detroit, where Dan Campbell's going to try to bite your kneecap off.
Yeah.
So you get to, 3-7?
Is that what we are? 3-7? Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, we got three wins.
8.
Two against the Lions, of course.
Oof. Arizona at home.
I'll take the Bears. So now we're 4.
4-8.
Yep. At Green Bay.
You know, it's funny. That's the only place they ever seem to be able to beat the Packers is there.
That's true.
They go to Lambeau. They own the Packers at Lambeau, except for the last couple of years. Do we know when that is? Is that a fucking night game?
Let's see.
Yes. It's Packers. Sunday night football.
That's Sunday night football.
That's a loss.
Yeah.
4-9. We haven't played the Vikings yet.
followed by a Monday Night Football.
Monday Night against, home against the Vikings. That's a win. Matt Nagy owns Mike Zimmer. 5-9 Mm-hmm. At Seattle.
No, that's no good.
5-10 Home against the Giants.
That's I like that. That's a 6.
6-10 at Minnesota. Probably a loss.
And this is where we get to our ceiling of Andy Dalton. If he's a start, is 7. Maybe they pull that one out. That's your, but that's your ceiling. If he's a starting quarterback for the whole year, 7 wins.
The Bear over under, I believe, is 8.5
Okay.
I don't know that you, I don't know that I could make a case to go over.
I would say this. I think the first 4 games of the season are very predictable. If Fields is starting in week 5, I go over. If he's not, I'd go under.
7.5 I'll see. Vegas is right on this shit. It's almost like they, look at this stuff. So 7.5 So then if you would be guaranteed then you're going over. You're if Fields, how many games did you say Fields has to start?
So if he starts week 5, so that's because I mean, right? I don't think the first 4 games. I don't think the quarterback matters in terms of who's going to win or lose those games.
Oh, I definitely think they can lose to the Bengals with Dalton.
You do?
I do. I think they would. Okay. I think they win. I think if you told me Fields was going to start that game, I would feel much more comfortable than
Say it again. I want him starting day one, but yeah.
Here's what, and who knows?
Think they beat the Bengals? Okay.
Well, I don't think the Bengals are any good, but
right.
Here's my thought.
Go ahead.
The advantage Fields gives you over Dalton is Matt Nagy calls a shit play, and he's got to run it.
Right. Fields can improvise.
Nagy calls a shit play. It breaks down. Fields can, something can still happen.
Yes, he can make something out of it.
That's what we're. That's what it's come to. We're asking for our rookie quarterback to save us when the fifth-year head coach just calls a ridiculous play that's Darth poorly Weiser. Designed and ill-timed.
Darth Weiser, the offensive genius. Yeah, but I think that's where we are.
So,
I mean,
the good thing about the NFL is there's always a team that you look at going into the season, like that team's not any good, and they make the playoffs. There's mm-hmm. always one.
Mm-hmm.
And so every fan base can be, that'll just be us.
By the way,
until proven otherwise, you can always go in with, it could be 11-6. They're not going to be 6-11. We're morons.
You could argue that team last year was the Bears, by the way. Or they were a team like that. It's not getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, it was the football team.
Last year, the football team, yeah.
But only because the rest of that division was so shitty.
Right, right. Yeah, so the NFC North is kind of an interesting division, right? You've got Packers who are really good.
Well, I want to talk about the Packers.
The Lions are really bad, and then you've got the Vikings and the Bears who are somewhere in the middle.
Like I said, Vegas is pretty good at this stuff. The Packers, the last 2 years have gone 13-3 in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Last I checked, far be it from me to be wrong, Aaron Rodgers came back. There was no fucking chance in hell he was coming back.
I thought he was hosting Jeopardy.
Yeah. Now they had to fire him because he had a podcast. And oh, maybe that was Mike Richards.
Right.
Rodgers rigged the whole thing so he could be the host.
And evil genius, yeah.
Packer over under 10. With an extra game, Vegas thinks they're going to win 3 fewer games than they have the last 2 years. They don't just pull that out. They're begging you to bet the over.
Yes.
And it's especially jarring, we've talked about this before, on the Packers are one of those public teams, right. Like the Cubs, like the Dallas Cowboys, like the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
where Vegas can always hedge their bets. Because there's just a bunch of people who are going to bet on them,
no matter
regardless.
What. Right.
So They did this all the time with the Cubs, where they could inflate the win total on an over under, knowing that dopey Cub fans would be like, I think we can win 90 games.
Mm-hmm.
They just like, they'd be lucky to win 78. But we got all these idiots we've given ourselves 12 games in between now where it's our money. We just print it. And so it's weird to see them basically tell Packer fans, yeah, bet the over. Go get
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there for you. Look how fat and tasty it is. It's a big cheese curd. Go grab it.
Right.
So, God, I hope they know something.
Well, they might know that Andy Dalton is starting for the Bears both times they play the Packers. They might know that.
That's right. And they're really chalking those up to losses. Wait till the Ginger Reaper.
Right.
Tears Aaron Rodgers a new one. I'm of two minds on the Vikings. I think the Vikings have a lot of really good players. I also think their quarterback is a moron.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, yes.
And their coach, but I love the fact that Mike Zimmer so openly hates him. I love it.
Yeah.
He basically held an entire press conference just to say Kirk is a fucking moron. And we're stuck with him. And he's gonna test positive for COVID at some point. And he's gonna take our backup as a moron. Kellen Mond, he's also not vaccinated. If we lose one, we lose them both. And it's gonna be Tommy Kramer or Fran Tarkenton to save the day. Because that's
right.
We're down to that. Because if they can get through the entire season, the Vikings could win that division. But I don't know if they're gonna be able to get through that. I think they have a pretty good defense. They have a great wide. Adam Thielen's not great anymore, but what's his name? I'm the oldest person ever. John Jefferson's kid.
Yeah, him.
He's pretty good. And Dalvin Cook's really good.
Right.
So he's no Artavis Price. Oh, I guess the Bears waived him today. That's too bad.
Did they? I didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Goldman might be hurt. So,
great.
But he's probably not. But they signed two defensive linemen off the street today and put him on the practice squad. That doesn't seem...
Probably not hurt.
That doesn't seem great.
No.
Are they ever going to assemble this entire defense at the same time ever again?
Well, and again, this goes to the... Let's let Justin Fields watch for a year.
Yeah, watch everybody get old and leave.
Right, watch this defense get another year older, and watch your GM have no money to maneuver to improve this team.
One of the weird things we got this year, which is fine, but it's going to take a little getting used to. The NFL just threw the doors open and said, pick any number you want. Go get them. The numbers make no sense anymore. Mm-hmm. Danny Trevathan, on the injured list, just changed his number from 59 to 6.
Number 6 in your playbook. Number 1 in your heart.
Some of them are cool. Like Eddie Jackson's going to be 4. Now, that'll be a cool-looking number, flying around the backfield. Intercepted passes and missing tackles. That'll be great.
Yep.
Damian Williams is 8. And then we have a weird thing. Which is only applies to the Bears. Justin Fields doesn't have a number. He's just wearing a stripe. Shouldn't there be some kind of serif on that one? Instead of just a big... It just looks like they just took a paint roller and went, all right, you're 1.
Yeah.
And do you remember... I only remember one other 1. For the Bears.
On the Bears? Huh.
It was a kicker. He was a former Raider who only played, I think, part of a season. Probably in the... Oh, God, I don't even want to guess the years. 90s, maybe?
Former Raider.
But you just didn't see one.
No idea, yeah.
Jeff Jaeger. Actually, I think I just thought of another one. Didn't Jeff George wear one?
Did he?
I think he did.
The great Jeff George.
Nope, he was 11. You just didn't see guys wearing one. And when you see, Fields makes it look cool. A lot of guys, like Jeff George, would not have made one look cool.
No.
In the Bear font. Would it look like he like spilled mayo down the front of his jersey, which he probably did right before kickoff.
Yeah.
Whoops. Oh, looks all right.
Right.
All right. So a couple of things. Got a column coming out this week on Discipio.
Nope.
A rare appearance back in Discipio. And I do the over-unders for every team. But there are also, I want to run some of these by I also did, I pulled the props for the major awards. And I gave you no notice for this, which is good.
Oh, major awards.
Major award. Award. Surprise. A major prize.
Christmas story. Okay. It's a leg lamp.
So what really amused me is for MVP, I put the three favorites based on the guys with the lowest odds. And they are the usual suspects. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
But then I did the best values. Guys who I thought have a decent chance and have a higher number. Dak Prescott, who I think if healthy, which I don't think he's going to be, would put up some huge numbers in that offense. He was last year before his foot was pointing the wrong way.
Right.
Matthew Stafford and Ryan Tannehill. But then I also listed the Bears with their odds.
Okay.
So here, just for a little context, Patrick Mahomes, if you want to bet him to be the MVP, he's plus 500. So dollar will get you five for Pat.
Mm-hmm.
The highest rated Bear, Allen Robinson.
Okay.
Plus 15,000.
Oof.
Yes. Tariq Cohen. Not even, hasn't even jogged on the practice field yet.
Right. We don't know when he's going to play. Yeah.
Plus 15,000.
Okay.
David Montgomery and Justin Fields, plus 20,000. And a guy put in a special category all his own just because we miss him. If you want, you can bet Mitch Trubisky, plus 20,000.
Wow. What about Jesse James? Where does he come in?
You got to go find your own. You got to find a special sports book.
I meant the outlaw, not the actual tight end, right?
Sandra Bullock's ex-husband.
Yeah, right.
Or down there at Orange. Was it Orange County Choppers? Is that where he was, or he was a different kind? Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was Orange County.
I don't know. The guy I like in that, if I was gonna bet my own money, I put on Josh Allen.
So it's Josh Allen. Tannehill? No.
The three favorites were Mahomes, Rodgers, and Allen. But then I thought for best value, Dak, Stafford, and Tannehill.
Yeah, I like Dak there. I like Dak.
Okay. Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Ooh.
The favorites are... See if there's a trend here in who the favorites are. Trevor Lawrence.
Uh-huh.
Mac Jones.
Uh-huh.
Zach Wilson.
Uh-huh.
Justin Fields. And Trey Lance.
Wow, they seem to be quarterbacks.
The
mostly.
Five quarterbacks are all. Lawrence is a favorite, plus 400. Mac is plus 600. Zach, Justin, and Lance are all plus 750.
Oh, pretty tight. Pretty tight race.
I thought the best value was. I put Fields, but I think it's either Najee Harris of the Steelers or Kyle Pitts of the Falcons.
Kyle Pitts.
Plus 1,000. And Fields is the only rookie on the list for the Bears. So. Even if Daz Newsome gets off the practice squad, you're not going to be able to bet on him for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Damn. Let's go with Justin on that.
Yeah, I think it's either going to be Trevor or Mac. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Mac doesn't deserve it, people are just way too excited about that guy.
Yeah.
I think I've got a good one here for Defensive Rookie of the Year. The favorites are Micah Parsons, plus 600, Jamin Davis, plus 800, and Jalen Phillips, plus 1,000. But the guy I like the most in the best value is Patrick Surtain II.
Ooh.
Down there with the Fighting Vic Fangios.
Okay.
What's he at? There is a Bear for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
All right.
He got cut. But he made it back. Isn't that right? All the Bears who got cut They all made it back on the practice squad.
Nobody snapped them up.
Nobody wanted any.
No other teams wanted them.
Thomas Graham Jr. If you want, they'll give you +10,000 for Thomas Graham Jr.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was Micah Parsons?
+600. He's the favorite.
I'll go with the favorite.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be pretty good.
Yeah.
And with the Cowboys, he can make all the tackles because he's the only guy on defense that'll tackle him.
It's true. It's true.
Let's see. So offensive player of the year, which honestly feels like MVP, although I guess it shouldn't be. And it is different. So the favorites are Mahomes, Derrick Henry, and Christian McCaffrey. I have best value Josh Allen. Tom Brady at +1,800 and Stafford at +2,200. But here you go. Okay. You're gonna wanna bet a bear here, I would guess.
Okay.
The Bears with the lowest odds, David Montgomery and Allen Robinson, both +6,500.
Mm-hmm.
Tariq Cohen on the list again, +15,000. And then you get
Darnell Mooney. Does he make the list?
He's not. Darnell's not on the list. Cole Kmet and Justin Fields are both +20,000. But the guy you're going to want to bet, Andy Dalton, +25,000.
There you go. Money in the bank.
Defensive player of the year. The favorites are Aaron Donald, Miles Garrett, and TJ Watt.
Donald.
Yeah, Donald is the pro. Him and Garrett are both +500. They are the prohibitive favorites.
Yeah.
Can you have two prohibitive favorites? Maybe not. Best value, Devin White of the Bucks. That's the guy I would put money on. Darius Leonard and Xavier Howard. They're both +2,000. And the Bears on the list, you can pick from three. Khalil Mack, who's actually has better odds than Devin White. Roquan Smith and Akeem Hicks.
I'm going to go Roquan.
Akeem is +10,000.
What's Roquan?
+4,000. So there you go.
I'll go with Roquan.
$40.
Yeah. I'm liking that.
This one I think is interesting. Comeback player of the year. Dak is the favorite at +210. Burrow at +700 and Saquon Barkley at +700. So either you need to break your foot or blow out your knee.
Right.
In the best value category, I have Christian McCaffrey. He's +800. Jameis at +1,000, and Michael Thomas at +1,200. What's he coming back from? Punching teammates in the face? They signed Javon Wims yet just to punch Michael Chauncey Gardner, whatever his name is, in the face repeatedly during practice? No. The Bears didn't have anybody on the list.
Oh.
But I put Robert Quinn on at +infinity.
I know you're a big Robert Quinn guy.
Huge Robert Quinn guy.
As are we all.
Yes.
Yeah. So you think he will actually make a tackle this year?
He had 2 sacks last year.
I don't remember either one of them,
but he must have at least 2.
Very important.
Now, this I thought was weird until I gave it some thought, and then it started to make sense. So coach of the year. The favorites are former Bear assistant coach Brandon Staley, who they named the mascot after, for God's sakes, and the Bears didn't even keep him.
Crazy.
Bill Belichick and Urban Meyer. And so for best value, I had Belichick, Arthur Smith, and Sean Payton, especially now that we've got the whole, got another hurricane in New Orleans thing.
Right.
If you want to bet Matt Nagy, +2,200.
Fortunately, nobody does.
I'm leaning towards Belichick because I think the Pats are going to be pretty good. And I think he gets bonus points because he's obviously a great coach. And I think he's only won the award maybe once, which is one of those ridiculous things where the guy's been the best coach for 20 years and he's won the award like once or twice.
Right.
He's also the GM. So when he gets credit for completely overhauling their talent in 1 year, he actually gets he gets credit for something that's not supposed to apply to the award.
Right.
Because
he's
also the guy who went out and picked up all the players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would bet, if I was forced to bet, I would bet on Bill. I don't know why anybody would be forcing me to bet, but if they were, I would bet on Bill Belichick or Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
But so when I first saw it, I'm like, how the hell is Staley the favorite? He's never even coached a game. But if you look back to the award, rookie coaches win that award quite a bit. I mean, Matt Nagy won that award.
Ugh.
Do you remember the great Ray Rhodes in Green Bay?
Oh, wow.
He won the award. I think Wayne Fonts might have won it as his first year as a coach. So it's actually not that unheard of.
So it's a meaningless award.
It is. It doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
Let's see. Um, Oh, here's a, okay. So most receiving yards. This I got this carry because there's some interesting bears on it.
Mm-hmm.
The favorites are Calvin Ridley, Riley's brother. Riley no longer plays for the Bears. Justin Jefferson, there you go.
Kenny Beamon, yeah.
And Stephon Diggs. I thought the best values were Diggs, Devontae Adams, and Tyreek Hill. But there's three Bears you can bet on. I'm going to give you the first one because it's easy to guess. Then I want you to give me the other two. Allen Robinson is plus 2,000. So he's top 10, I think. But there's two more. Who do you think they are? And if you'll get one. The other one, I would be amazed.
What is the category again?
Most receiving yards.
Most receiving
yards.
You
got to lead the NFL in receiving yards.
Darnell Mooney.
Yes. Plus 10,000. And the other one.
This is the tough one?
Yes.
Alex Bars. Okay, hold on.
The guy is plus 15,000.
You're not going to say Cole Kmet.
It's not.
David Montgomery?
Nope.
Hmm.
I'll give you one more guess, because otherwise you can guess the whole roster.
I know. Perriman.
Yes, you got it. Brashad Perriman, plus 15,000.
Wow.
It's just, that makes no sense.
That's crazy.
Okay, most receiving touchdowns. The favorites are Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, and Calvin Ridley. But there's one, two, three, four. There's five Bears.
For receiving touchdowns.
Yes.
Robinson Mooney.
Robinson and Mooney, yes.
Cole Kmet. David Montgomery's got to be there, right?
He's not there. He does pop up on the rushing yards and rushing touchdowns, but not any of the receiving categories. This is a guy who led the Bears in touchdown catches last year.
Cordell Patterson?
Yeah. We talked
Jimmy
about
Graham.
Him at the beginning as to
Jimmy
why.
Graham.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham. And then?
The fifth guy. It can't be Perriman.
It's Brashad Perriman. He has the same odds as Mooney and Cole Kmet, plus 20,000.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
Most sacks, Aaron Donald, Myles Garrett, and TJ Watt are your favorites. And there's three Bears.
Mack.
Yeah, Khalil Mack.
Hicks.
Akeem Hicks. And... Not Roquan.
Okay. Not Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn. And he's plus 8,000.
Really?
He's twice as good odds as, or he's half the odds of Akeem Hicks.
Jeez. Okay.
Is there anything else here? Most interceptions thrown. It's an interesting category.
Mitch Trubisky.
No, Mitch isn't on it.
Oh.
The favorites are Sam Darnold, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Jared Goff. I have down for the three guys for the best value, Daniel Jones, Jameis Winston, who last we saw was through 30 of them.
Right.
Last time he started every game. Well, he also threw for 5,000 yards. And Carson Wentz.
Mm.
They put basically every quarterback on here. So Justin Fields and Andy Dalton are both on there. Fields is plus 1,600. It's the same odds as Jameis, which is just blasphemy.
That's crazy.
And Dalton is plus 3,500.
Huh.
I think this is Carson Wentz's to lose, but I got to thinking about it. He's already has a broken foot that he's playing
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm.
He's famously not vaccinated.
Right.
So I don't think he's going to, I think
he's going to have the chances to throw it. Yeah.
I think, he might want to go Daniel Jones there.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll finish up here with, regular season record breakers. I think they put it in here because maybe they have them all the time. But obviously with the 17th game this year, there's the chance that some hallowed records, single season records, might fall.
Right, okay.
So they want to know, will any player break the regular season passing yard records of 5,477? No is minus 250, and yes is plus 190. So they're pretty sure nobody's going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think so.
I thought no too. Last year nobody came close, but 2 years ago, Jameis in 16 games was only 370 yards short, and Dak was about 500 yards short.
Right.
And so it's probably safe, but guys got closer than you thought. Will any player break the regular season receiving yard record of over 1,964? No, minus 500. Yes, plus 350.
No.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No. I did put down the thing from my column today that if Allen Robinson does it, he will become the Bears' all-time leading receiver.
Right.
And he will have done it in 70 fewer games than Johnny Morris.
Eclipsing the great Johnny Morris, right.
Like six full seasons almost. Five and a half, I guess.
It's nuts.
Will any player break the regular season rushing and receiving touchdown record of over 31 and a half? I couldn't even tell you who holds that record.
Yeah, no.
They really don't think this is happening. No is minus 3,500. Yes is plus 1,200. I thought just maybe Jesper Horsted.
That's, well, if you're going to go, if you're going to pick a horse, that's the one you go with.
And then the final one here is, will any player break the regular season rushing yardage record of over 2,105?
No.
Do you know how many yards Derrick Henry missed it by last year?
278.
78.
Ooh.
However, I'm giving away this whole column, but that's fine. However, there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There have been 7 players who have rushed for 2,000 yards in an NFL season. None of them have ever done it twice.
Hmm.
Actually, there's 8 because Henry did it last year. The others are OJ.
Mm-hmm.
What's, I don't know what he's up to these days.
I don't know.
Eric Dickerson,
okay.
Barry Sanders, Terrell Davis, Jamal Lewis, Chris Johnson, Adrian Peterson, and Derrick Henry.
Wow.
So if he's going to do it, he has to be the first player ever to rush for 2,000 yards 2 seasons in a row.
Well, let's get the extra game.
Twice ever. So.
Right.
But yeah, you get the extra game, so who knows?
Who knows?
I have a feeling the extra game is just going to be... I think most of the guys are going to play in 16 games.
What do you mean?
Oh, he's banged up. We're going to sit him this week.
Oh, okay. That's right.
I mean, obviously, maybe they won't sit Derrick Henry, but I don't think the extra game is going to equate to another full game worth of workload for every player.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
Like, I think, you know, if the Titans get a decent lead, they're going to be more likely to yank Derrick knowing that he's got another week. He's got to carry little defenders around on his back.
Right.
All right, so we kind of already did this, but predictions for Sunday. I don't know. You know how, like, on game day, Kirk Herbstreit can't pick the game if he's going to call it? Are you still allowed to predict the game if you're going to be there?
I'm gonna go out on a limb.
Are you going to be on the telecast?
We'll see.
Are you going to slide into the booth with Al and Chris? And you get to plug your set at Flappers.
I'm going to go up to Al going, do you believe in miracles? we know it's the Rams.
Yeah, Bears plus 7.5. They're not. You're not giving me enough points to take.
You're right.
To take my beloved Bears.
Yeah.
Not a great start. But, you know, just think how excited we'll be if they somehow pull this off.
Well, that would be amazing.
It'll all be worth it. All right.
Yes. I'm as sure of that as I am that Danny Trejo will be at the game.
So that's number one in the books. I probably should have done this at the beginning, but if you made it to the end, and who doesn't make it to the end? We talked about this. You and I talked about it with the movie podcast. I talked about it with Mike.
Mm-hmm.
The length of these doesn't matter because people. It's not like people sit down and carve out. It's not a TV show. I got to sit on the couch and watch the whole thing. You listen to it in the car. You listen to it wherever. You play it till you get to the end, and then you go on to the next podcast. Of course they make it to the end.
I always say the length doesn't matter.
That's right, honey.
It just doesn't matter.
Don't worry about the length. we're doing Remember This Crap for the Bears again this year, but we're doing it differently.
Oh.
It's going to start this week, so I got to get on this. I got to do it. Remember This Crap for the Cubs is different. That is, we spin the wheel and we pick a season. We talk about the whole season to death. The way we did Remember This Crap for the Bears was we talked about the Bears and their opponent historically. And so there are a number of teams, obviously the teams in the North, but also the Rams and the Bucks. There are, I think there's only like six games this year that the Bears didn't play the team last year. So, how about this for best of Carson? You're going to get instead, like for Rams week, you're getting last year's episode. Because we didn't preview that game. We talked about all the game, about big games in Rams Bears history.
Okay.
So I'm going to cut a little thing for the beginning, but then you can just kick back and relax and listen to Mike Donahue and I talk about great Bears and Rams games in history. And mostly we make fun of former coaches from the teams that they're playing.
Okay.
So we'll do that for those games. We do have some special things planned for like a Packer week and some other stuff. But you're going to get a little repackaged stuff, but I think it'll still be worth listening to. So, but this, the Bear podcast, always fresh.
Always fresh.
Always.
We do not script it.
No.
Believe it or not.
All right. Well, have fun at the game.
All right.
Not jealous that you're going to see the Bears and the Rams, but I'm jealous that you're going to get to check out the new stadium. Are you going to get a, do they do, you'll have to tell us like what food they have there, but can you get a nacho helmet? Like they fill an entire Ram helmet with nachos.
I don't know. I mean, like at Wrigley. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah.
If they do, will you put it on and take a picture?
No, I'm not going to do the Brett Taylor. Nachos. If you're this is a Brett Taylor reference. Yeah. I will not be doing that.
Yeah, I forgot he did that. That doesn't make it. That's not as funny though.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, the next time we meet, we will break down what happened with the Rams and the Bears, and we will preview the return. Actually, it's at home, so he's not going to go back to Cincinnati, but Andy Dalton will be playing against guys wearing the uniforms of the team he used to play for.
The big revenge game. Yeah, can hardly wait.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
Very good. All right, Andy. Take care.
Many of us have herpes.